Today's shir is Masechta Chulin Daf Chaf Gimel. We will begin in Daf Chaf Beis on the Beis, 8 lines from the bottom, by Rib Seira. As we learned in our previous shir, there are two types of birds that can be brought as a carbon. One is a tar, and one is a yoina. Tar is a dove, yoina is a pigeon. And as the Mishnah and the Gemara in the previous shir taught us very clearly, the halacha is that a tar can only be brought when it's mature, and a yoina can only be brought when it's young. Furthermore, we learned in our previous shir that what is the sign that it's too old or not old enough? Tchilas atzilus, when it starts getting yellow. Now, the point of our shir, or the first part of our shir, is to try to understand what does that mean. Doesn't mean that when a bird is in that state, when it's yellowish, it's a new category, it's not old, it's not young, and that's why it's disqualified. Or the way to understand it is, we're just not sure. We're not sure if it's too old. We're not sure if it's too young. And because we have a question, because we have a suffix, that's why it shouldn't be used. And that's how we begin today's shiur. The person says, I have the option to bring either tar to fulfill my obligation or a yoina to fulfill my obligation. And it brings two birds. Both birds are in this stage where they're just getting yellow. Now, what will be the halacha? Is the halacha, do we look at it as a sfeika hava? That when the bird is yellow, we're just not sure. So here, no matter how you look at it, he's going for yoitza. Because if it's too old to be, if the yoin is too old, I'll fulfill my obligation with the tar. And if the tar is too young, I'll fulfill my obligation with the yoina. Idilma, or perhaps as we said, bariahava, it's considered as independent new category. And with this independent new category, lainafik, you can't fulfill your obligation because it's neither a tar nor a ben yoina. So Rishonim asked the obvious question. Since the halacha, as we learned in the Mishnah, is that you're not supposed to take a bird at that point. So how did he bring such a bird? How did he cut to the base of Mikdash? So I saw a number of terutzim. One terutz is that it's referring to a b'dieved situation, where although it should not have been accepted, and certainly shouldn't have been offered on the Mizbeach, it was, and now we want to know, has this person fulfilled his obligation or not? That's one approach I saw. Another approach that I saw is that's talking about a bomber. The din is only in the Mizbeach with these birds, these specifications apply. It doesn't apply in a bummer. So on the bummer, you could bring such a bird, but that doesn't mean you necessarily fulfilled your vow unless it's a suffix. A third teretz that I saw is that, interesting teretz, that as far as I'm concerned, if I'm obligated to bring a bird as a carbon and I give that bird to the Kayan, I fulfilled my vow. Now, the Kayan will or won't put it on the Mizbeach. That has nothing to do with my nether. My nether I fulfilled as soon as I gave it to the Kayan. And of course, as the Achroinim go on to explain this teretz, the Kayan would indeed have to wait, if it's a Ben Yoina, until it's old enough, then he could bring it on the Mizbeach. If it's a Torah, until it's old enough to put it on the Mizbeach. And a Yoina he would have to redeem. But that's not the question. The question is, did I fulfill my vow? And that depends on how we look at this situation. Amar Rav. So Rav responds. Toshma, the Brisa said, Prat l'tchilas ha'suyuv shebezeh bezeh shepasol. The Torah is teaching us, as we learned in the previous year, Minat Torah, or Min B'nai Yoina, to teach us that when a bird is at that point, it's disqualified to be used as a carbon. So Rav makes this point. E'am b'shalom b'er yahava, if we're going to say that a bird at this point is considered a new status. At this point, it's a new status and it can't be put on the Mizbeah. So that's what the Torah is telling us. Sai by Torah and Sai ben Bnei Yoina. When it's at this point, you can't bring it. Eli Amrit Sveika Hava, if we're going to say that it's a Sophic, it's for Krala Mute Sveika. So there's many ways of understanding what the Gemara says. The simplest Pshat is actually Tysus' Pshat. Tysus says what the Gemara means to say is like this. We could have a question. Is it too old? Is it too young? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no questions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what it is. So if the Torah speaks it about it, the Torah had no question. If we see that the Torah had to go out of its way to eliminate it, to exclude it, it must be because it's a bari b'fnei atzmai, because there are no sfeikas in the Torah. That's one approach. Another approach is, as we've been learning, based on the shir yesterday, the two psukim. There's a pasuk in HaTorah, and there's a pasuk in Bnei Yoina. So why do we need two psukim? If it's too old, so then the pasuk in Bnei Yoina should exclude it. If it's too young, then the pasuk in HaTorah should exclude it. Why do I need two psukim? It must be because it's a bari b'fnei atzma. A third approach is Rashi's approach, as the Achroinim explain Rashi. We have a rule, B'chal HaTorah Kulo Safek D'Rais L'Chumra. When we have a question, we have to go L'Chumra. So if it's a Safek, so we know that the rule is to go L'Chumra. What do I need a Pasuk to say it? We all know that rule. What's the problem with that approach? We know, as we've discussed in our Shiurim, this rule, that Safek D'Rais L'Chumra, is a Machlokes Rishonim how to look at it. The Rashba, and many say Rashi, hold the Midaraisa, you have to go L'Chumra. So the pshat that I just gave is very gishmak. But there are Rishonim, the Rambam's opinion, is that there's no such a rule Midaraisa, Savak, Daraisa, L'Chumra. It's only a Din Midarabanan. So that's why we need a Pasuk to say over here, we should go L'Chumra. So the number of ways of explaining the Gemara, even according to the Rambam. Some say that this rule, this klal, that the Rambam says that Savak, Daraisa, L'Chumra is only Midarabanan, was only said by regular halachas, not by kachim. We were talking about kachim. Another approach that I saw is that where it's chazik isur, we said this previously. You can't bring the bird. Every bird, certainly if it's a tar, the bird may be too young. And even if it's a ben yoina, it has cheskes isur because it's ein ezvuach, the Rambam agrees by his chazik isur, I said this teretz previously, we say sof derais l'chumra midaraisa. A third teretz, a very nice teretz, is even if the Rambam holds that we don't say midaraisa sof derais l'chumra, but now we're going to have a contradictory situation. What's going to be? If I could bring a tzihuv, a yellow yoina, then how could I bring a yellow tar? And if I could bring a yellow tar, I can't bring a yellow yoina. So we're, by following Sofik the rice of the lakula, I'm going to have contradictory psokim, even the Rambam agrees we have to go lechumra. But then, the Rishonim, Tosfos and other Rishonim ask, that there are cases that the Torah speaks about Sofik. One is, a case where there's an animal that was designated as the 10th animal, it's the Meiser animal, and it got mixed up with other animals, and we don't know which is the Meiser animal, the Torah says we could be lenient. Or, by the Goam, there's Alocha, there's a question if the hare came before the Beharis, or the Beharis came before the hare, we also makel. So these are cases of Sveikas, and the Torah speaks about Sveikas. So if we follow the approach that Tosfos uses, that we say that here, that if we follow the approach that Rashi uses, I mean, that there's a rule of Safek Daraisa L'Chumra, here that rule wouldn't apply because there's no two sides. But if we're going to follow the approach of Tosfos, it's very geschmack, says the Ramban. The Ramban says that different types of sfeikas. The Safek that we're discussing in our shir, we may not know how to look at a yellow bird, but Hashem knows the answer. That's Tosfos' approach. But by where there's a Safek where your animal got mixed up with other animals, nobody knows the answer. And that's why the Torah has to teach us what the rule should be. So, the fact that the Torah has a Pasuk, that's what we're up to, the fact that the Torah went out of its way to say a Pasuk to eliminate this animal, that's this bird that's betil chilas tziyuf, seems to be a raya that it's a beri b'fnei atzma. So, that's not what the Pasuk is coming for. Kietzuch krok, the need for the pasuk is for a different purpose altogether. The need of the pasuk is lemuti nirva ve'eved. The bird was sodomized or worshipped. And as Mefarshim say, even though there's halacha, ein adam oisa davish ein shaloi, first of all, it could be it's maybe his bird, one teretz I saw. Another pshat that I saw is that even though there's halacha, ein adam oisa davish ein shaloi, that's only when the worshipper doesn't do anything to the bird. If somebody actually does a meisen act on the bird, then even though it's not his bird or animal, it'll become asur. Kusakadat chamina, hoil v'ksiv. Since the Torah says ki mashchosam b'ahem mumbam, the Torah when it speaks about an animal being a balmum, connects it to Mashchasa. The Tana Bei Rishmol, what is the definition of Mashchasa? Kol Mokum Shenema Ashchasa. Wherever the Torah used the words Ashchasa, En El Dver Erva, it means there was Erva, because as the Gra explains in En El Yo, when people are not careful in Dver Erva, it destroys everybody indiscriminately, the people who did the Aver and everyone else. Vavoyz Kechavim. Dvar Erva, how do we know that Hashchasa relates to Dvar Erva? Because the Tosuk says, Ki Hishchus Kabasa Estarkoi El Ha'oretz. Avodis Kechavim, how do we know that it refers to Avod Zorah? The Ksiv, the Pasuk uses Tashchisim regarding Avod Zorah, because the Pasuk uses the words, Pan Tashchisim Asis L'Chem Pesel Kol. So I would say, since the Torah connects Hashchasa to Mum, we would say, Kol Shamum Pasubai, wherever a Mum is an issue, Dvar Erva, that's where Erva and Avodah Zorah as well are issues. However, wherever Mum is not an issue, ain't Dvar Erva Avodah Zorah Paislamba. Similarly, Avodah Zorah and Dvar Erva should not be an issue. V'hani Oifis, and when we speak about birds, Hoyel V'loi Paislamba Mumma, a Mum is not an issue by a bird. Domamar, as we've learned numerous times, the Alocha the Tamus, that the animal should be unblemished, or the zachrus, sometimes you have to bring specifically a male animal, was only said by behemoth, by animals. However, v'ein tamas v'zachrus b'ifus, it was never said by birds. So we would say, eimah, that's why we would think, dvar ever v'avod chavim, that even if a bird was nirba, or even if a bird was worshipped, nami loy lifso b'hu, it should not be possible, kamash malon, that it is possible. First of all, this halach of tamus, that a bird doesn't have to be unblemished. So all the Rishonim agree that if it's mechusar aver, if it's missing a limb, then it's disqualified to be brought on the Mizbeach. Machloikas Rishonim, if we say it, furthermore the Rishonim seem all to agree, if it has a major blemish, it also can't be brought. Machloikas Rishonim, if it has a minor blemish, like a cataract, Dukin Shaba'ayin. Some Rishonim say that Midaraisa it's fine, Midrabanan it's a problem. Other Rishonim say that even Midrabanan such a bird can be brought as a carbon. So our Gemara is teaching us that this din only applies, but since the din of Mum doesn't apply by birds, we would think that Nirva Veneva doesn't apply by birds. That's what the Torah has to teach us that it does. So we don't have a pasuk available to teach us that this is a barrier. And since we don't have a pasuk that teaches that it's a barrier, because the Torah isn't speaking about a yellow bird, we don't have a raya that a yellow bird is asur. A number of points we have here, a very long Taisvis, that Taisvis makes. One point Taisvis makes is, as we start looking at this pasuk, the pasuk meant about Torah and Bnei Yoina, we really have two ways of looking at the pasuk. One way we could say that the pasuk is coming to teach us that a yellow bird can't be brought, because a yellow bird is a barrier. Another way of looking at it, it's coming to be to exclude a nerba v'nevad. And a yellow bird is not what the Torah is discussing. So ask Taisus, why would I say that the Torah is speaking more about a nerba v'nevad than about a yellow bird? Why one more than the other? So one Taisus says, is because throughout Halacha, we've learned this out together ourselves, we see that the Torah always wants to exclude a bird or animal that's nerba v'nevad. So it makes sense to say here that the Torah is trying to exclude a nirba v'nevad. That's one approach I saw. But then Taisvah takes a different approach. It's very consistent with the approach that I said earlier. One pasuk will exclude a nirba v'nevad. The other pasuk will exclude the yellow bird. We just don't know which one is the pasuk that's excluding the yellow bird. And therefore, we don't know how to treat the yellow bird. Furthermore, Taisvah seems to make the observation that now according to the maskana of the Gemara, the pasuk is coming to exclude a nirba v'nevad. So it seems that our Gemara is concluding that the bird that's yellow is a suffik. We don't have a pasuk available to teach us that a yellow bird is a barrier and that's why it's excluded. That is indeed the approach of many Rishonim. That's Pashup Shad of the Gemara. Other Rishonim say no. That the fact that we learned in previous year that the Torah says that a tar has to be specifically a mature bird, a yoina has to be specifically a young bird, what is the Torah teaching us? The Torah is teaching us that a yellow bird is a berry b'fnei atzma and it's excluded. So maybe the pasuk min atayim of b'nei yoina that we wanted to use in our shir isn't going to teach us that halacha, but we have a different pasuk to teach us, and it could well be that a yellow bird is considered a berry b'fnei atzma. Actually, this halacha that we're learning in today's shir, that a bird that was nirba or nevad cannot be brought as a carbon, there's an interesting machlokes ha'achroinim. If a bird, avodah zarah is not that relevant b'zman hazeh, but if a bird was nirba, can you eat it? Not for carbon, for chulin. Can you eat such a bird? Of course, it's not something that a person would normally want to eat, but we're talking in terms of hilchos kashrus. The Bach quotes a sefer chassidim who says it makes a difference if it's known that this bird was nirba, so it's considered a dover moss and shouldn't be eaten. If it's not known, it could be eaten. There are other achronim that are even more lenient. Since the entire halacha, why is a nirba something that should not be used? Because a nirba was supposed to be killed. A bird that caused a person to do an aveira is supposed to be killed. Nowadays, there's no bezdin. There's nobody killing birds. There's nobody killing people. So the whole din of a nirba doesn't apply. One final vart as we complete this sugya. There's a very difficult pasuk in the Torah. When Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from Har Sinai, and he sees that Klal Yisrael erected the eagle, what does he say? Anachot am chet gedoyla. That they sinned a terrible sin. And when we look at this pasuk, it's a very difficult pasuk. Moshe Rabbeinu is the person that's always looking to be melam tzchus. He's always looking to say good about Klal Yisrael. And here he's saying to Hashem, these people did a terrible aveira. Is that Moshe Rabbeinu's style? So the Farshim say a beautiful teretz. As we see in our Gemara, and we see it throughout Halacha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is extremely particular about the Aveira of Avodah Zarah, the people who worship Avodah Zarah. And the question is, why is Hashem so concerned about Avodah Zarah? What does Avodah Zarah mean? That a person worshipped an idol. Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu consider the idol his competition? That he should be concerned if people worship that idol? The answer is that every one of us, as we say every morning, every Jew has in him a part of Hashem. Each one of us has a tzelem alakim. And therefore Hashem is not upset if our gashmius worships an idol. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu is upset about is that we have a holy neshama, which is part of God. It's a chelek alakim imal. How is that holy neshama worshipping an idol? But if a person, Rachmana Litzlan, does an Aveira of Arayis, he loses that holy neshama. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't care. Said Moshe Rabbeinu to Hashem, Anachot am chet gedoyla. They did Gilei Arayis. So they lost their holy neshama. So what do you care if they made an eagle? So a person would think that if he worshipped, and if a person did Gilei Arayis, it shouldn't make a difference if he worships Avodah Zarah. Tells us the pasuk that the Gemara spoke about. Pen tashchisun. Even if you did Ashchasa, even if you did Gilei Arayis, don't take that as a heter, as permission to worship Avodah Zarah. The sisin l'chem papesel, you're still not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah. The Torah, many times, speaks about a carbon being brought either from a keves, a lamb, or an ayil, a ram. So what's the difference between a lamb and an ayil, a keves and ayil? A lamb is an animal during its first year. An ayil is after it's a year and a month old. Why is a year and a month old? Because it has to be in its second year. And we have a rule, chaydish, once it's a month into the second year, it's already considered like it's in its second year. Interesting, machlokes rishonim. When the Torah tells us that we should bring a carbon that's an ayil, or when there are different halachas that apply to an ayil, as we're going to discuss in our shir, does that mean from its second year on, or only in the second year? I saw three opinions, actually. There's some rishonim that say, once the animal's in the second year and it could go on forever, it's still an ayil. Others say that once it's past its second year, it's already not such a quality animal and should not be brought as a carbon. There's a third opinion that midaraisa could be forever. Midrabanan, after the second year, it shouldn't be brought as a carbon. But what is the status of an animal in that 13th month? It's no longer a keves because it's past the year old, and it's not yet an ayil. So it's called the pileges, which is going to be the subject of our shir at this point. A pileges, as the name implies, pileges, it's halfway. We don't know if it's here. We don't know if it's there. And you all could already imagine what is going to be the sugya now. The sugya we want to know again now is to understand, how do we look at a pileges? Do we look at a pileges like it's a keves? Do we look at it as a suffix? Or do we look at it as a beri b'fnei atzmai? Furthermore, the Rishonim say that this entire discussion is only according to the opinion that holds that you have to wait until it's a month into the second year. There is an opinion that yom echad b'shana, chash b'shana, that even one day in the year. So if it's one day in the year, so then once it's ready one day, it's already an ayil, and this entire issue wouldn't be that relevant. Furthermore, one more point before we start the sugya, is again, we're thinking about the sugya, and we're thinking to ourselves, an important issue, but unfortunately has nothing to do with us, because we don't bring kabbanis. It does have something to do with us. Because it says in Shulchan Aruch, and this is very much part of what we learned in the Masechta Bava Metzia, is that if somebody steals something from somebody else, he has to return what he stole. But if the item that he stole had a shinui Hashem, had a significant change, then you only have to give back the value. And therefore the halacha is that if somebody stole a keves, a lamb, and by the time it's here to return it, it's already an ayil, you don't have to give back the ayil, you only have to give back the value. Now the same question will be, if you stole a keves, and now it became a pileges. If a pileges is already a new barrier, so it's not what I stole, and I only have to give back the value. If, on the other hand, the pileges is a suffix, I would have to give back the actual animal. So we begin the sugya. By Rezer, so Rezer asked the following question. Somebody accepted upon himself to bring a carbon, and he said, I'm going to bring an ayil and a keves. I'm going to bring either an ayil or a keves. The heavy pelegis. And now he brings the pelegis. What will be the halacha? Says the Gemara, Aliba de Rabbi Yochanan, Laiti ba'alach. According to Rabbi Yochanan, there is no question. The Omar, because Rabbi Yochanan holds, that a pelegis is a barrier he. It's considered an independent barrier. And I obligated myself either to bring a keves and an ayil, not a pelegis. So I'm not going to fulfill my obligation. The Tanakh. Rabbi Yochanan says, the Mishnah says, Hikrivoi, if somebody brings a pileges, so the halach is, and this is an important issue, we learned in Masechta Menachos that every carbon, when you bring a carbon, you have to bring along the sachem. When you bring an ayil, the Torah is very smart. We know the Torah is very smart. So the Torah says an ayil is a larger animal, so you have to bring two esroinim of flour and a shlishis ahin of yayin, which is four revis. If you bring a keves, you only have to bring one esroin of flour and a quarter of a hin of yayin, which is two loigim of yayin, two revis. So now, when you bring the pileges, what do you have to bring? What kind of nesachim? Do you bring the nesachim of an ayil, or do you bring the nesachim of a keves? So the Mishnah says, Hikrivoi, if somebody brings a carbon which is a pileges, maybe a love nischei ayil, he brings the nesachim of the ayil, then oil and mezivchai. But his obligation, that he obligated himself to bring either a keves or ayil, and now he brought a pileges, he hasn't fulfilled. Because Amar Rav Yochanan explains, Amar oil ayil, the Rebbe is pileges. That the Torah, when it says oil ayil, is teaching us that you have to bring a pileges. And again, the way we've been learning the entire shir. The Shparcha has no sfeikis. The Shparcha has no questions. So if it's a kevis, the kevis is already mentioned. If the ayil, the ayil is mentioned. Why does the Torah tell us to bring the din of a pileges? Because it must be, it's a separate barrier. Kiti baylach, the question is only a leave of the bapada. Doma, the bapada's opinion is, maisi umasni. Bapada says, when you bring the pileges, bring the nesachim of an ayil, because it may be an ayil, and therefore you have to bring the bigger nesachim. And he makes the following condition. If it's an ayil, great. I'm bringing the proper nesachim. If it's a keves, I'm bringing the nesachim that the keves, the smaller amount, and the extra amount should be in the dova. So before we go further, the Rishonim ask a number of questions. The Rishonim ask, the halacha is, so we said that the difference between a keves and an ayil is that here you bring four revias and here you bring two revias. So they ask, the halacha is you can never bring a carbon that is less than a certain amount. The difference between the amount that's used for an ayil and the amount that's used for a keves, or vice versa really, is not enough to be an independent carbon. So how could you say that the extra should be an independent carbon? It isn't enough. One question. Another question, as I said earlier, the ratio of oil to flour by ayil and the ratio of oil to flour by keves is a different ratio. There's a much, the keves has a much looser consistency than an ayil. So if you have to bring a keves, you can't bring an ayil. If you have to bring an ayil, you can't bring a keves. So how do we understand what the Gemara is saying? Just bring the entire amount and say that the extra I'll bring as a carbon. And the truth is, there's one more question that the Rishonim point out. The nesachim, there are two types of nesachim. There's nesachim that accompany a carbon. We learned this all in Masechta Menachos. There's nesachim that accompany a carbon, and the nesachim that you bring independently. They have very different rules. Nesachim that are brought to be accompany a carbon, there's no din of kmitza. The nesachim that you bring independently have a chiv kmitza. So here, if we have extra, kmitza is required. If I don't have extra, kmitza is not required. So how does the Gemara just say, bring the entire amount and make this stipulation? So Rashi says that all of these halachas that I enumerated are only applicable, says Rashi, when I'm bringing it as an independent carbon. When you're bringing it as an independent carbon, there's rules of kmitza, and there's rules of minimum size, etc. Here it's being brought as one big carbon. So Rashi says, as the Ra'ah explains Rashi, that all of the halachas that I identified and other halachas that I didn't even mention, only when you're bringing it independent. But when you're bringing it together with another mincha, all of those halachas don't apply. That's one approach. Taisus, because it is kasha, has a whole different explanation of Gemara. He doesn't say, like I said, that you bring one big mincha, and you say, if I have extra, the extra should be in the davar, because of all the questions that I mentioned. Tais says you bring two minchas. You bring the bigger mincha, and you bring the smaller mincha. And you make the following stipulation. If I'm obligated to bring the bigger mincha, so then the smaller one should be in the davar. If I'm obligated to bring the smaller mincha, then the bigger one should be on the davar. It doesn't answer all the questions, because it doesn't answer the question. But if it's a nedava, you have to do kmitza. And if it's not a nedava, you don't have to do kmitza. So how does Taisus answer that? So Rishonim explain that even though the Gemara says that a michas nedava requires kmitza, if when one accepted upon himself to bring a michas nedava, he stipulated that it should be like a mincha that's not obligated to kmitza, you can make such a tanai, and that's what you would have to say. So now we're trying to understand Bar Pada's opinion. Me, I mean, I have a kavis. Masna. That is, the stipulation is that a pelegus may be an ayil and may be a kevis. But beri loy mitzna. But it's certainly not a beri b'fnei atzma, according to Bar Batada. I dim of a beri nami masna. Or maybe there's a three-way question. It may be an ayil, it may be a kevis, or maybe a separate beri. Diyama, because if it's a beri, lavakul nadava, then there's no chiv of nesachim and it should be nadava. And what would be the halach in our case? If Bar Pada holds that it's either an ayil or a kevis, and I obligated myself to bring either an ayil or a kevis, so bring me the pelegus, I'm safe. But if Bar Pada agrees that there's a three-way shaila, maybe it's an ayil, maybe it's a kevis, and maybe it's something by itself, so there's always the possibility that that is the correct possibility, and I will have not fulfilled my nether. And the Gemara remains with a tekel. Another question along this type, along this line of questioning. There are two words in the Torah that are very similar, but don't mean the same. There's a word called sa'ar, and there's a word called seyur. Spelled the same way, but very different meanings. Sa'ar, we know, is sourdough, yeast. It's chametz gamma. Seyur means something which we call in halacha chametz noiksha. Chametz noiksha means chametz at the beginning of its becoming chametz. And there's a machlokes, a double machlokes between Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda regarding seyur. The first machlokes is, at what point does a dough become seyur? According to Ramei, it only becomes seyur, it becomes seyur already when hichsef panav, when it gets pale, when it gets this whitish complexion. And furthermore, according to the opinion of Rameyer, if somebody eats seyur on Pesach, he's not chiv karis, like he ate chametz gomer, but there's a chiv malchus. Rabbi Yehuda has a double leniency. Number one, according to Rabbi Yehuda, when it's hichsef panav, it's still matzah. Only when it becomes tzedakim, when it becomes, the cracks develop in the dough, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's seyur. According to Rameyer, that's already chametz gomer. And furthermore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, when it is seyur, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no chiv karet, there's no chiv malchus. Another rule, which we discussed extensively in Masechta Menachos, is that the carbon taida, when somebody brings the carbon taida, with the carbon taida, you have to bring 40 loaves. You have to bring along 40 loaves. 30 a matzah and 10 a chametz. And now we begin our sugya. By Rav Zeir, so Rav Zeir asked the following question. If somebody obligates himself to bring the lachmi taida, either min a chametz or min a matzah, he's either going to bring chametz loaves or he's going to bring matzah loaves. V'heivi seyer. And he brings loaves that are seyer, and as the Rishonim explain, and they're already baked. So you can't do anything with them. Because if they're not baked, just wait till they become chametz gomer. What will be the halacha? Mal. So before the Gemara goes in to try to answer the question, we first have to understand the question, says the Gemara. Seir the man. Exactly what type of seir are we talking about? Is seir the Rameya? If something which Ramei considers seir, Rabbi Yehuda matzah ma'isi, according to Rabbi Yehuda at that point, it's still full-fledged matzah. Id Rabbi Yehuda, if what Rabbi Yehuda calls seir, according to Ramei, at that point, chametzu. It's full-fledged chametz. There's no question either. Vid Ramei le Rameya, if what Ramei calls seyer, it's clearly chametz. What's the riot that Ramei would consider it chametz? Because as I said, midalokula, if Ramei says that if somebody consumes that on Pesach, he's chayiv malchus, that's clearly a riot, the chametzu, that's full-fledged chametz. Says the Gemara, where is the question? The Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda. What Rabbi Yehuda considers seyer, if somebody brought that on for the carbon taida, which Rabbi Yehuda says, you don't get malchus. So now the question is, how does Rabbi Yehuda look at seyer? Do we say sveka hava? Rabbi Yehuda looks at seyer as a suffix. It may be chametz, it may be matzah. The fact that you don't get malchus is an indication that it's not chametz. The fact that it's not chametz. The fact that you're not allowed to eat it is an indication that it is chametz. But it is either or, v'nafik m'manav shach, and therefore, you'll fulfill your vow. Oidilma, maybe Rabbi Yehuda looks at seyer, bar yehu, it's not chametz, and not matzah, and the Torah requires that the laws of the karmat taida have to be either chametz or matzah. This is neither, v'loi nafik. Ask the Gemara, we still need to understand what is the Rav Zeir's question. Because hasn't Rav Huna taught us, ha'imah harei le lach mitayda, if somebody obligates himself to bring lach mitayda, maybe toida v'lachma. He now has an obligation to bring a carbon toida properly. What's pshat that he has to bring a carbon toida v'lachma? Carbon toida properly with all 40 loaves. The kiv and the chayv lebetayra v'lachma. Now he has this obligation. And halayoda haigavra. I'm not aware that this person I'm not aware if these loaves, a chametz, that now I only have to bring the matzah loaves, the laisi matzah. Or are these loaves matzu, the laisi chametz? So how could this be a question? I have an obligation to bring all 40 loaves. Since we don't know how the halacha looks at these seir loaves, I have an obligation to fulfill my obligation. What's my obligation to fulfill my obligation? I have to bring 30 matzah, 10 chametz. Answers the Gemara Leitzricha, Domer Harei Leichala, where you said that you're going to bring chala, lifter taidasa shaplani. You're bringing the challah, I'm bringing the karma toida, and you're bringing the challah on my behalf. Ask the Gemara, Saif, You're doing me a favor. But I don't know if it's a favor. I don't know how to eat this favor. I'm not sure if you brought chametz on my behalf, that now I only have to bring matzah. In matzah, if you brought matzah on my behalf, that I have to bring chametz loaves. So we still don't know how to look at it. Says the Gemara, you didn't say that you're doing it on my behalf. You made an obligation, you took upon yourself an obligation to bring 10 of the loaves. And the question is, have you fulfilled your obligation because you brought these loaves and there are the chametz and matzah, or loy nafik? Or have you not fulfilled your obligation? And the Gemara here too, because it's a berry b'fnei atzma, and the Gemara here too remains with a takeover. But the Oinig Yontif still has a fundamental problem in understanding this Gemara. He says, we need to understand, I brought a carbon taita, and you said you're going to bring some of the loaves of carbon taita, but I don't know if I'm what they are, so I still have that obligation. How's the Gemara dealt with that issue? So Oinig Yontif gives two answers. One answer is that I indeed said harei lai taita, that I have an obligation to bring a karma taida, so unless I bring it properly, I haven't fulfilled it. But if I say harei zu taida, so it's not a personal obligation, and I could fulfill my obligation with what you say. That's one pshat that Dainig Yontif say, would you bring chalas on my behalf? Another pshat Dainig Yontif says, is that absolutely, if I obligate myself to bring a carbon, so if you bring the carbon on my behalf, and we know that you indeed did it, perhaps it's fine. If you didn't do it, I still have that obligation. But that's on the actual carbon. Here we're not talking about the actual carbon. We're only talking about the chalas. The chalas aren't considered an actual part of the carbon. And since they're not considered an actual part of the carbon, the halacha will be different, that you could fulfill my obligation. And now the question is, have you or have you not? Where is this question very relevant? I saw two interesting shailas halacha lemaisa. One is Rav Yehuda Osler and the shailas of Tshuvas Yehuda Yala discusses the following situation. There was a person who made a large pledge to give to tzedakah. And his father heard about the pledge and he knew that his son doesn't have the ability to give such a large amount of money to tzedakah. So he wanted to pay off his son's pledge. So what's the right thing to do? The right thing to do, which will be halakhically no question, is if the father gives the son the money as a gift, and now the son pays off his obligation. Maybe the father didn't trust the son. So he wants to pay it off himself. Can he or can he not? It depends on how he made the obligation. If, as we're saying, harei olai, when I take upon myself an obligation, as the Oinig Yontif says, I have the obligation to fulfill that obligation. No one else could do it for me. So then the father's giving the money wouldn't do any good. He has his own personal obligation. Or, I saw another interesting shaila. Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein in the Shailos HaTshuvos Cheshukei Chemed discusses this question. There was somebody that made a simcha in a shul. And he had guests that came to him, to the simcha, his guest. And they got aliyahs. And when they got aliyahs, they donated money for Mishaberach. Matzoy Shabbos, the Bas Simcha, the person who made the Simcha, approaches the Gabbai and says, I'd like you to make a calculation of all the money that my guest donated. I don't want my guest to have to pay. I'll pay the entire amount. So the question is, do the guests still have an obligation to give their own nedava? And he says, based on what we're learning now, they still have their own obligation. And my giving it isn't going to fulfill that obligation. But then he says a very interesting vart. So, okay. So, if they have to give it themselves, should the Gabbai give me back my money? He says, oh, I can't get my money back either. Why? He says a very interesting chap. He says there are two reasons why a person donates money when he gets a aliyah. One is because he wants to give tzedakah. Another is because he had use from the shul in which he davened. So indeed, as we're explaining, I can't fulfill your obligation. And therefore, if I've gave the money on your behalf, it's mekhtos, I should get back the money. But part of your cheshbin in making this donation, says Rav Zilberstein, is because you had use of the shul. That's like any other debt that I could pay off on behalf of someone else. Therefore, I don't get my money back, and the guests will have to give their own obligations.